Namgyakona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me. Nazo, nazo vangani, welcome back to Namgyakona. Because we all know that if it's going to be, it's up to me. Today, I have a very special guest for us, an entrepreneur and founder and leader in the tech and law space, which we are very excited to get into. But before we do, I do want to remind you to comment down below if you have questions for our guest today. We'll try and make sure she gets them. And also, if you're inspired, what exactly inspired you? Very grateful every time to chat to you guys. From me, your host, Buntu Majaja, welcome to Namgyakona. And welcome to you too as well, Grace.
Thank you for having me, Buntu.
Yes, we need
standard.
Keep compliance, as we were chatting earlier. Grace, really, really grateful to have you here and chatting to us and sharing your journey as the founder of Luma Law, which is a paralegal in your pocket. What that means is that in your phone, you have access to legal experts and advice that cover the most basic and important things that all of us should know.
Absolutely.
And through the work you've been doing, you've won the Hague, prestigious Hague Innovation Institute of Innovation of Law, which is a global program, and also the SAB Social Innovation Awards. You're one of the winners, and you've been recognized continuously, of course, for your work. I think as a founder, as an entrepreneur in this context, it's an amazing journey you've been on. And I think we always curious, what is it that made you start this journey? What did you see as the problem that you were trying to solve?
Thank you so much for that, Buntu. You know, I think a lot of times people don't realize that your problem-solving journey actually starts before you realize that you're actually on your journey. So how I actually started, I was working full-time. I was only focused on climbing the corporate ladder. I had no interest in any type of social work. The last time I had done any type of social work was in university. But I'm a lawyer by training, and usually, like similarly with doctors, when you're a lawyer, everyone thinks you know everything about the law, right? So one fine day, I had one of the cleaning staff in our offices approach me about claiming maintenance. She's like, what do I do? Where do I go? Where do I even get the forms? Like, how do I even start this process? So I helped her through that. You know, it was one of those where I really enjoyed helping her through lunchtime. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks. There you go, on your way. Little did I know, she went and spoke to a lot of the other cleaners, and like our offices were huge. So we had a cleaning complement of at least 20, 30 cleaners.
Wow.
She spoke to them, and then they just kept coming to me one by
and
one.
You told me, you won't believe what happened. I'm sorted now.
That's exactly what happened. And you know, we sit in open plan type of office space. So my colleagues were like, why are these cleaners keep going to Grace? Like, what's happening here? You know, so I realized that, you know what? I can't keep doing this one-on-one because I'm probably going to get into trouble. So I set up with them lunchtime workshops, and we started doing workshops in the basement. And I did that for a good 6 months, just teaching them about the law, about their rights when it comes to family law, when it comes to labor law, what happens with a will, what happens when you die with a will, without a will. And for me, it was so fulfilling because I didn't realize that the information that I had and that I took for granted could actually change people's lives. And that was the aha moment for me.
Wow. And then you were inspired as you were going through that journey, but also you realized that this is the problem that you want to get into. What for you inspired you, and when did you decide that actually you want to solve this problem and you have to be the one that does it?
I think for me, it came about from realizing that I have information and people need information. And sometimes it's not even the type of information that you need to specifically go and see a lawyer for. It's basic information. It's what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? what documents do I need, and who can help me along the way if I can't afford an actual attorney? That was my problem. How did I go from being employed into the journey of entrepreneurship? It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you often hear people saying that it takes 10 years to be an overnight success, you know? So I carried on with my full-time job. I kept working with the cleaners, but I got to the point where I think I'd actually taught them enough. Plus HR was like, what are you guys doing now? What's happening there, Grace, you know? So I took my workshops outside of the office and I started going into communities. I got a little bit of resistance when I first started because I didn't, you know, when you just want to solve a problem, you don't understand that there's protocol. So I'd go into these communities, I'd be putting up my posters. No one knows me, by the way. And then I'd book the community hall. Next thing you know, my first workshop was successful, but my second workshop, because I hadn't communicated with a ward counselor, he was like, who are you? Are you EFF? Are you ANC? Like, who are you politically affiliated? Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know we were going this deep. Is- I am just here to help people, you know? And from there, I think that's what it means to be on the journey of entrepreneurship. You constantly have to pivot. You constantly have to change your model. So I realized going into the community, you need the trust of the community. They don't know me. They don't trust me. Who do they know? Who do they trust? So I started working with other NGOs that were established in most of these communities. And from there, we've honestly grown from strength to strength. And as that was like in 2018, I made a pivotal decision because from all the workshops that I was doing, I always gave out my cell phone number. So on my WhatsApp, I had more people from my workshops contacting me from Northern Cape, from Free State, from Limpopo, telling me my cousin was in your workshop. She says you deal with this kind of stuff. Can you help me? I started getting very overwhelmed and thinking, you know what? There must be an easier way to do this. Clearly, if they're reaching me on WhatsApp, it therefore throws out the myth that people don't use technology. And it also throws out the myth that if people have a problem, they're not going to try and find a digital solution to try and resolve their problem. That's where I think I officially became an entrepreneur, because I was like, okay, now I properly have identified the problem. And I think a digital solution could work here.
Very cool. And then you were actually inspired then to continue and solve that problem. What was that motivation for you, and where did that come from? You know, were you someone that always wanted to help in the community, or driven by empathy like that?
You know, that's a fantastic question, because I think when it comes to entrepreneurship, people often assume that the idea just, you wake up and you've got it. It doesn't, it comes from you. It comes from who you are. It comes from what drives you. And when you ask me, have I always been this person? Yes. And you know, the funny thing is, for the longest time, I thought that was my weakness. Or everyone told me it was my weakness, including my father, who was like, you know what? You keep getting hurt because you keep letting people walk all over you. And I'm like, no, but if people need help, you have to, if you're in a position to help another person, why wouldn't you do that? You know, strangely enough, even my university lecturer who took us for practicals while I was still at Wits actually said, Grace, never do work that involves people. You get too involved.
Would you recall for us how you encountered challenges, or what kind of challenges you encountered? And maybe even more so is how you view challenges. And when you did encounter them, how have you overcome them? What's your take on issues and challenges that are stopping you on this journey that's so important?
Buntu, if you don't encounter challenges, you don't grow. Challenges force you to think outside the box. Because once you're met with a problem, you literally have to ask yourself, okay, how do I move past this? The first challenge I got when I had people all in my WhatsApp, I had to be like, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to communicate with people? I can't do a WhatsApp group because I have to be mindful of people's privacy. So how do I do this? I'm not a techie, I'm a lawyer. I mean, for us, email was the greatest invention. So anything beyond that was really outside of my comfort zone. You know, so I started Googling. I started Googling ways of doing this. And I wasn't even sure what I was Googling. I was just trying to find ways to communicate with people. And I came across the concept of chatbots. I didn't know that they were around for so long. I didn't even know that I had interacted with multiple chatbots in my lifetime. But I started seeing how a chatbot, especially an intelligent chatbot, will be able to have a real conversation with a human, providing them with real information, real time, and that could actually make the difference. And from there, solving my challenge of, okay, how do I go from now I know about chatbots, now I need a chatbot, I literally went on LinkedIn and I found my development partners right now. I literally emailed one of the software developers. I told him about my idea. I told him, look, I think I'm onto something. I would really like to meet you guys because I think there's synergy, but I don't have any money, but I still think you should meet with me. That was literally it. And sometimes it's just about communicating, putting yourself out there. As an entrepreneur, you constantly have to be vulnerable and be open to hearing a yes or a no, because you don't always win. Failure happens almost all the time. It's just about how you take that in and then pick yourself up and figure out, okay, so they've said no. I actually honestly don't see no as a no. I see it as a later or some, maybe this was just not the right time. But that's literally how I see failure or how I see setback. It's about how you take that and move yourself forward.
Amazing. So even Abazali, when they say no, it just means later. Just hang in there if you are set on what you are doing. But I think it's a brilliant point, Grace, around, you know, there is no failure. Mm. It's all growth. It's all just lessons. Not what you want now or how you thought it should work out. And amazing on how you reached out, selling your dream to people that have now partnered with you, even when others might look at you and say, you're crazy, you don't even have the budget, you don't know these people, you just reached out via LinkedIn. You know, what put you in that position to say, no, actually, you are willing to do something even when it's difficult to believe that it's possible? You know, how do you get that internal motivation?
I think it goes back to your why and your purpose. Because I was so driven to solve this problem, and I wasn't going to let anyone tell me that it can't be done, because I'm seeing it get done in other spaces, in health, in education, I can see it happening. So why not in justice? And it was just a matter of me making myself vulnerable enough to put myself out there to see how far can I go with trying to solve this problem.
And that's a brilliant point. Forgive me for jumping in. When you say vulnerable, what does that mean to be vulnerable as an entrepreneur, as someone who's on a journey to be successful?
I think being vulnerable is the opposite of what people tell, of the advice that's given to people who want to go entrepreneurship. So you're always told don't be vulnerable. But without being vulnerable, then you don't allow yourself to be in a space where you can actually meet people or present your idea to people who might see something in you that you might not ever have seen in yourself. Had I not had the courage to send a complete stranger a direct message on a global online platform, she didn't know me. Had I not been vulnerable enough and believed in my purpose and my plan and my vision enough, Luma wouldn't be here today. It's important for entrepreneurs to be vulnerable, because that's when you're driven to do more, to move on to the next thing. Because without that, you become stubborn or you become stuck in your ways. You know, you don't wanna communicate, you don't wanna collaborate. That's a problem. I honestly think collaboration is the new competition, because you can't fix the problem on your own.
Beautiful, beautiful thought. I love the vulnerability. Really what it means is you need to be able to believe in your dream so strongly, but at the same time be able to know that it can change.
Yes.
And others can tell you it's this way is wrong for
yes.
now. And if you really believe in your dream, in order to achieve it, you have to get to that space where you balancing this confidence with, I can do it, I will do it, but I need you to do it with me, and I might be wrong still.
Absolutely.
And I think that balance is amazing on the vulnerable side, as you've stated.
Mm.
But what I'm curious about more is that on the confidence side, how do you balance it? How have you built confidence in times when, you know, you felt this is difficult, this is challenging, or when you doubted yourself and maybe others doubted you as well.
You know, I've had many of those moments, Buntu. Many of those moments where I've doubted myself and others have doubted me. Because what I'm proposing is something completely out of the box when it comes to accessing justice in this country and for the world, you know? So there were many times where I was called crazy, where I was told there's no way you can remove the human from the legal space. And to a large extent, I agree. Because the justice journey is a human journey. It's a journey of feeling. It's a journey of emotions. You know, losing your job, going through a divorce, you know, those are things that come with so many emotions over and above the fact that you have to deal with the justice system. So with the confidence of knowing that I am on a journey, I have to believe in myself, even on the days where I am down. I have to believe in myself enough to know that, you know what, my vision is strong enough. My purpose is strong enough. My solution works. And you know what? So there will be naysayers. But knowing that, you know what? At the end of this day, I will show them. I will show them that it's possible. And that's a skill that, unfortunately, a lot of us are not taught from an early age. You know, we're talking to the kids right now. You know, when I was in high school, I was very insecure. And these are things that I wish someone had told me about. Building confidence, making decisions, making the right decisions, having the discipline to stick to your decisions, you know, having the discipline to not be swayed by friends or influences, you know. And that's something that I wish more and more people would speak to our young people about.
Amazing. I love that you reflected on, at some point you weren't someone who believed in their vision, believed in and stuck to what they want to do. Mm. When did that change for you, and how did that change for you? And if you were to be speaking to 16-year-old Grace now, she's unsure about her, you know, what she wants to do, and even the things that she thinks she wants to do, she's not confident about. Actually, can she do it? What would you advise that 16-year-old on how to build confidence, and where to get that from, and how to view, and how to view what they want to achieve?
You know, if I was speaking to 16-year-old Grace, and I think about this a lot, you know, I think about what do I wish someone would have told me. I'm not going to reveal my age, all those years ago. But I think I would say to her, you have a mind and you have the potential, and only you can pursue all of that. You know, you might be dealing in a, you might be in a stage in your life where you're facing, you're in friendships or you're in relationships that don't serve you, but you're staying because you want to please people. You're staying because you want to be seen as the popular kid. You're staying for reasons that don't serve you. You know, you're making decisions that for you to look cool, it means you're not studying. It means you're not focusing. It means you're not being disciplined in the things that you want to do. Because 16-year-old Grace actually did have a vision for her life, but she just wasn't confident enough to put herself out there and to bet on herself, to choose herself. And I think that's a big thing young people don't do. You don't choose yourself because there's so many things that can influence you. And we're living in an age where, you know, we were lucky we didn't grow up with Instagram and social media. So I can only imagine how much more it is now where you're watching your peers and here locally and all over the world, and how that can weigh heavily on a young person. But my message, honestly, to young people and to young Grace is make the decision. Put your head down. Choose yourself. Have the confidence and the discipline to do the things that are hard. It's hard to wake up early and study. It's hard to wake up and be focused and exercise and eat right. It takes discipline. The same discipline will be relevant when you're running a business. It's hard for me to work late. It's hard for me to even go into meetings where I'm with very important people in the room and I'm thinking, how did I get here? But it's discipline, it's confidence, it's all those things put together. And it's something that you do learn over time, but it's something that you can honestly start nurturing earlier, even from 10 years old.
Beautiful, beautiful thoughts around the skills and the characters and the values, and how those come together to actually puts you into a space where you take on challenges. You are confident to be vulnerable, and you're also confident to believe in yourself. And really on that note, Grace, want to thank you for sharing your thoughts and wise words on your journey. We are wishing you more and more success. Nazo Gevangani, you heard it here once again, Uguti. Grace has taken it upon her own hands that she will make herself someone who believes in herself enough to know that she can too solve the problem that she sees, and that's connected to her passion. So were you inspired today? Do you have a question? Do you have thoughts? Put it down in the comments below. Always, always happy to hear from you. And till next time, that's us here at Nam Giyakhona podcast. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Bunton. Thank you for having me.
Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Nam Giyakhona.